Hello everyone. Today, we've got an exciting topic that I think will resonate with educators everywhere: designing a competence-focused curriculum. Lisa, are you ready to dive into this?
Absolutely, James. This is one of those game-changing ideas that can really shift how we think about teaching and learning. Instead of focusing on a checklist of topics to cover, it's all about what learners can actually **do** with the knowledge and skills they gain. It's practical, meaningful, and honestly, long overdue in many classrooms.
Right? I love this approach because it centers on real-world competences and measurable progress. But before we get too far ahead, let's break it down for our listeners. Lisa, what exactly do we mean by a competence-focused curriculum?
Great question, James. At its core, a competence-focused curriculum shifts the planning from what do I teach to what can my learners achieve. It's about designing learning experiences that build transferable skills, things students can apply outside the classroom. For instance, instead of saying, students will complete worksheet 4 on ratios, you frame it as, students will use proportional reasoning to solve real-world problems, like creating a scale map or adjusting a recipe.
That makes so much sense. And it's a subtle but powerful difference, isn't it? One is task-focused and feels kind of static, while the other is all about application and growth. Why do you think this matters so much, Lisa?
Well, research backs this up, James. Students learn best when new knowledge connects to what they already know and when tasks feel meaningful. Think of educational theorists like Aucibel, Piaget, Vygotsky, and Kolb. They all emphasize that learning sticks when it's anchored to prior knowledge, when it's social and experimental, and when students are motivated to engage.
Exactly. And I think motivation is key. When students see the relevance of what they're learning, when they know it's building towards something tangible, they're far more likely to persist and invest in their learning. And let's not forget formative assessment. That's another critical piece of the puzzle, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Formative assessment isn't just a checkpoint. It's part of the learning process itself. It's about giving feedback that helps students reflect, adjust, and grow. In a competence-focused curriculum, formative assessment aligns with the outcomes you're aiming for. So you're not just grading tasks, but actually measuring progress toward real competences.
Let's talk about those outcomes for a moment. One of the biggest challenges teachers face is distinguishing between learning outcomes and lesson objectives. Lisa, can you help us clarify the difference?
Of course. Learning outcomes are big picture and competence focused. They describe what learners will be able to do in realistic contexts. For example, students will evaluate sources for reliability and use them to support a claim. Objectives, on the other hand, are smaller, more specific steps that scaffold toward that outcome. So an objective might be, students will identify reliable and unreliable sources in a given list.
Got it. So outcomes are the destination, and objectives are the stepping stones to get there. What's a good way to tell if you've written a strong learning outcome?
Great question. A strong outcome is student-centered, competence-oriented, observable, and transferable. It should describe something measurable, what students can actually **do**, and it should be anchored in real-world contexts. For example, instead of just saying, understand photosynthesis, you'd say, explain energy flow in photosynthesis and model outcomes when light intensity changes. It's specific, actionable, and meaningful.
I love that example. And it ties in nicely with the idea of scaffolding, doesn't it? Breaking down competences into milestones and gradually building independence is such a key part of this approach.
Exactly, James. Scaffolding is all about providing the right supports at the right time. Think of tools like worked examples, sentence starters, peer prompts, or checklists. But just as important as scaffolding is the process of fading those supports as students gain confidence and competence. It's like teaching someone to ride a bike. You start with stabilizers, but eventually, they have to learn to balance on their own.
That's such a great analogy. And once students are more independent, you can start introducing tasks that require transfer, using what they've learned in new or complex situations. But Lisa, how do we make sure our assessments align with these outcomes?
Ah, Alignment is crucial. You start by designing backward. First, you write the learning outcome, something like, students will evaluate sources for reliability and use them to support a claim. Then you decide what evidence you'd accept to show that competence exists. For this example, you might have students create an annotated bibliography or write an argumentative essay where they evaluate and integrate sources. Finally, you plan formative activities, like peer feedback or teacher conferencing, that build toward that summative task.
And this is where rubrics come into play, right? A good rubric helps both teachers and students see what progress looks like.
Spot on. A strong rubric includes criteria like accuracy, depth of reasoning, application, communication, and even metacognition. Can students reflect on their strategies and improve? For example, a rubric might say, meets standard, solves correctly, explains reasoning clearly, applies concept in a novel context, and reflects on strategy. It's about capturing the full picture of competence.
This all feels so actionable, Lisa. But I can imagine teachers thinking, where do I even start? What's your advice for someone new to designing a competence-focused curriculum?
Start small. Take one lesson and rewrite its objectives as outcomes. For example, turn complete the lab worksheet into design and carry out a controlled experiment to test a hypothesis, collect and analyze data, and communicate conclusions. Then map out the steps students need to get there, and think about the scaffolds and assessments you'll use along the way. It's a process, but every small step makes a big difference.
That's fantastic advice. And the beauty of this approach is that it's flexible. You can adapt it to any subject, any age group, any classroom. Lisa, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Just this, designing a competence-focused curriculum isn't just about improving planning. It transforms how students see themselves as learners. It builds their confidence, their motivation, and their ability to apply what they've learned in meaningful ways. So take the plunge, it's worth it.
Well said, Lisa. That's all the time we have today, but we hope this conversation has inspired you to think differently about your curriculum.